Well, you know my theory. It's the 20% of the people on the far right and 20% on the far left that are ruining this country for the rest of us. We deserve better.
The Andy Finch Show. Something special in the airwaves.
We deserve better. We deserve better.
Not only do you deserve better, you are getting better, because the Andy Finch Show is back. And on this date, May 18th, Gustav Mahler passed away, Danny, 1911. Of course, Hitler loved Mahler. That's one of the reasons that some Americans can't take it. But he wrote dirges, too. I'm a little bored with Mahler. But the last word he spoke on his deathbed was Mozart. And I can think of other things I might say on my deathbed. Rosebud, for example, would be one. But I don't have an improvement over Mozart. Also, it's the birthday of two of the greatest baseball players in history. Reggie Jackson was born on this date in 46, and Brooks Robinson in 37. Reggie was the straw that stirred the drink in New York, which is amazing, since in his first career he won three World Series with the Oakland A's. I think they won three in a row in the early 70s. And then he made his name in New York by hitting three home runs in Game 6 of the 1977 World Series, I want to say it was. And Brooks Robinson was born in 1937, played for the Baltimore Orioles his entire career, as far as I know, nicknamed the human vacuum cleaner because at third base, nothing got by him. I saw him in the 1966 World Series track down balls that you would not believe a third baseman could get to. He put on a fielding clinic that was amazing, and he could hit a little bit too. But back to music, having mentioned Mahler's death and the fact he said Mozart, Condoleezza Rice was reported this week by a British newspaper, The Independent, that it was reported in The Independent what her 10 favorite songs were of all time. Now, basically, she did this as a favor to Bono, the rock star lead singer for U2, who helped The Independent put out a No News special edition. Okay. And it was part of a charity drive to fight AIDS in Africa. So Bono asked her, and she contributed her favorite songs. This was kind of like a few months ago, we found out what Bush has on his iPod. Well, this is interesting about Rice, because she's a classical pianist by training and is quite talented. And I know she knows much of the classical repertoire. That is, she can play it. She doesn't just know it. So her favorite is Mozart's Piano Concerto in D minor. Her second favorite song is Cream's Sunshine of Your Love. Now, I like Cream myself, and that is probably their best song. So I can't quibble with it being up there high. Her third is Respect by Aretha Franklin. The fourth is Cool and the Gang's Celebration. I don't know that I'd put them up there. Then it's Brahms again, U2, any work by U2, Elton John's Rocket Man, and then Beethoven's Symphony No. 7, quote, quite simply, the greatest symphony of all time. I would beg to differ. First of all, I think Beethoven has two symphonies that are better. Now, she's classically trained, and so she may know the subtleties of the seventh in a way I don't, but I'd take the fifth, as it were, or I'd take the ninth. And then Mussorgsky's Boris Godunov. I'd take Pictures for an Exhibition by Mussorgsky, although I know it's the most commonly known thing of his. I would take Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov. I'd take some Vivaldi. I'd take a bunch of things in here as well. But back to U2. Now, her number seven choice is any song by U2. I'm sorry, but that's weak. When you can be so specific that you can claim that Beethoven's seventh is his finest symphony, how is it you can't pick a song by U2? So I think that's a cop-out. She needs to put a stake in the ground. You know, I agree with her. I think U2 has a dozen songs that you could put near the top of their repertoire. But, gee, so does Brahms, so does Beethoven. And yet she managed to choose there. So I'm guessing she doesn't actually know U2's repertoire all that well. And I could be wrong. But I'd love to get in a debate with her about it, because I think I could kick her butt in a debate about U2. In any case, let's go back to right-wing talk show hosts. And is there any more of Bill O'Reilly we need to hear?
Yeah, there's one more.
All right, that's right. Bill is going to talk about how there is no right-wing, no bias at Fox. I think he's going to tell us more about that.
Now, they're not smear merchants. There's a difference. The propagandists on the right are just holding water for the oil companies. But they're not trying to smear anybody. But on the left, it's all about the smear. All about the smear, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it is. Okay, we're talking about the appointment of Tony Snow. Of course, he was smeared immediately by the left-wing websites, these despicable people who operate those. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Arthur, what say you?
Well, I'm just a little taken back at what you're saying, Bill, because you conveniently always omit the smear tactics of Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Laura Ingraham, constantly. Why is that?
Well, I don't see it the way you see it.
They constantly smear the...
Nah, I mean, look, I hear those people all the time, and I don't see any...
Stop it right there. So that is what's so interesting about 20 percenters. So keep in mind what 20 percenters are. If there's a lens called politics, 20 percenters are out on the far edge of the lens, on the right or on the left. Those of us in the center, and I'm left of center, but I've got a pretty much central view, can see that the 20 percenters on the far right and the 20 percenters on the far left have a certain amount in common. And that I have more in common with the people just right of center than I do with the people who are on the extreme right or the extreme left, even the ones on my side. O'Reilly doesn't see that, because that's what helps you realize that he is a 20 percenter on the right. If you can't see that Rush Limbaugh is as much a, quote, smear merchant, and I don't even have to use the word smear merchant, although he generalizes, you know, he coined the term feminazi, and he coined the phrase environmental wackos. Sean Hannity uses it now. Anybody that has an environmental position is a wacko. Okay, let's not forget that in the 70s, the environmental movement saved our rivers and lakes and air. And it wasn't like it was an extreme position. Congress, Senate, House, the president, whether it was Republican or Democrat, joined in and said, you know, it's time to do something about this problem. We have much cleaner air and water because of the environmental wackos. Now, the debate now is, how do you get the last few percentage of impurities out of our air or water, and what's the cost, and is it worth it? That's a fine debate to have. But as soon as you define one side in that debate as environmental wackos, that's the Bill's definition of smear. You know, Media Matters, which he considers a smear website, simply says things like, Bill O'Reilly yesterday falsely claimed something. They don't ever call him a liar. They just say he's wrong about some things. And that is a smear if you're Bill O'Reilly. Let's let him continue.
Maybe I'm naive. But here's my definition of a smear, Arthur, so you can take it to the bank, okay? It's taking a person like Tony Snow, who across the board is admired and respected, okay? Courageous guy, wants to help his country, has a belief system that he does not make any bones about. And then you take a guy like Snow and you try to tear him to pieces. That's smearing to me. Okay? Now, the three people that you mentioned are right-wing commentators, and they go after the left consistently and on a daily basis. Okay. But I have to tell you, when I tune into their programs, I hear ideology. That's what I hear. And then I hear, you know, this one's bad, but they keep it in the issue area most of the time. That's what I'm hearing. Maybe I'm missing it.
Yes, you are missing it.
It's in the issue area.
No, it's not in the issue area.
Here we have a new person for Ted Kennedy. Let's try to tear him to pieces and injure him personally. I'm not hearing that. There is one smear merchant on the right who does that, and I despise him. But the rest seem to deal mostly in issues.
Ah, and I can tell you who he's talking about there. He's talking about Michael Savage on the right. Because Michael Savage, he's a PhD, former professor, who, for whatever reason, did not learn what you're supposed to learn in college, to say nothing of graduate school. He's intolerant. He's relatively ignorant. He's sure that he's right. He's sure that he has the facts. He's sure that he can impart them to you. All the things that you don't end up with if you get a solid education. So I don't know what happened in his graduate school days, but he missed the boat somewhere. In any case, he has been fairly vicious on his attacks on everybody, including Bill O'Reilly. He doesn't think much of O'Reilly. He doesn't think much of Rush Limbaugh. So I think that's who O'Reilly's talking about on the right. But he can only find one smear merchant. You know, Bill O'Reilly will have Ann Coulter on his show. Now, if there's a more rabid woman in the country, I've yet to see her on the tube. I don't know what happened to Ann Coulter in her childhood, but she was, I don't want to speculate, but man, has she been done wrong in life, because she is one angry woman. Nothing is right, and it's all the fault of the liberals. And when O'Reilly has her on, he lets her have her say. He never stops her the way he does liberals and say, wait, this is a no-spin zone. He never does that. He does say to her occasionally, now, Ann, don't you think you'd be more effective if you toned it down a little bit? Meaning, your message could be better heard if you weren't such a lunatic. And she says, I sold 1 million books. My last book sold 2 million books. How many did yours sell? And he says, okay, you got me. You've sold more books than me. But that's the extent of how he takes on the smear merchants on the right. And she's the ultimate smear merchant, she and Michael Savage. But let's just go back to Rush for a minute. This is a guy who does not talk about issues. I have friends who are conservatives, and I say to them, do you listen to Rush Limbaugh? And they said, no, you know, he's not very interesting. He doesn't cover many points in the course of an hour. He's off ranting about Hillary, and you flip the channel, you come back 10 minutes later, and he's in the same rant. There's not a lot of content there. And it's always about people. It's almost always about people. I'll give you another example. The caller that O'Reilly took on mentioned Laura Ingraham. She's on in Washington, D.C. in the mornings, and that's her normal time slot. She's got a popular show. She's fourth or fifth in the ratings for radio talk. And she's got some gimmicks. She's a former entertainment lawyer out of L.A., so she throws in a little bit of that kind of stuff, a little bit of the Hollywood, what's going on in Hollywood stuff. And she's learned to play rock music. Now, this is a woman who wrote a book called Shut Up and Sing, telling people on the left, you should just be entertainers. You shouldn't use your fame inappropriately and take up causes. That would be wrong. But let us pundits do it, as though somehow Laura Ingraham knows more than most of the people in Hollywood. I mean, I don't see it. I listen to her, and then I listen to, I don't care if it's Alec Baldwin or George, what is George's name that starred on the well-known liberal, starred on the hospital show?
Clooney.
George Clooney, thank you, on ER. You listen to these guys, they're pretty articulate. Now, some liberals get in trouble. Barbara Streisand is not particularly articulate, but that's okay, because the people on the right have their share of inarticulateness as well. But to say that these folks are focused on issues and the left is focused on attacking people is just having blinders on it's staggering, because it's very clear that the right mostly attacks, and it's not about issues. It's almost never about issues on these right-wing talk shows. really strange that that's how Bill sees it. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to listen to a little bit of Stephen Colbert critiquing John Gibson of Fox News.